That's the thing there, too. You know, that's the best way, if you were flying a sign, if somebody was actually homeless, to just buy them food and bring it to them instead of giving them money.
That's what I tell them. I tell them, either tell them to go to the mission or give them a sandwich or an apple or something.
Water or something, yes.
Because, and I try to make sure I tell people that all the time. Because as Christians, boy, we go, man, I just want to help that person. I'm just going to give them money, right? Well, that money, more times than not, it's just helping them keep their addiction.
Exactly.
Or keep their alcoholism, right? Mm-hmm. And because, like I said, 95% of the time is the stat. I always tell the story back in the 80s. There was a guy that lived in New Jersey, and he would go to New York City every day, and he would panhandle. He'd have a sign, I'm homeless, or one day it would be, I'm a veteran, or, you know, and it'd say, just give me money. Well, he was able to raise, back then, this is in the mid-80s, he was able to raise $50,000 a year, and he would go back to New Jersey and live in a nice middle-income area.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, he could do that at that. So back in the 80s, he was making $50,000 from panhandling. Now, he was one of the guys who didn't use it as alcohol. That's I've not heard of many. But that guy, you know, like I said, he had a family and everything back in New Jersey, and he just would go and panhandle.
Yeah.
But more times than not, it was like in your situation, they go and, man, I need that bottle, right?
I see them all the time out there. And I, like, when I go out to eat, people ask me for money. But I'll buy them some food.
Yeah.
Because I know exactly.
Well, you know from experience, right?
I know from experience.
And the new thing is now, and it's been for the last few years, is they'll have their little puppy with them or their dog.
Oh,
any,
yes.
Yeah.
Or because, they, you know, they have, I used to sit with somebody who had a car.
Yeah.
Say, we needed gas.
Yeah.
We didn't need gas.
Yeah.
You know, they had gas. But, it's a lot of, you know, it's because people, you make money doing that.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's sad for the ones that really need it.
I had a lady one time ask for gas, and she said, I just need $10 for gas. I said, okay. And I took her over to the gas station. She said, well, my gas tank's full.
Right.
Yeah. And I said, well, listen, I was here to buy you gas. I'm not going to give you money. So.
And the sad thing is, sometimes they'll use their children too.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The animals get people. And then if they have little kids, that gets people too. So you get to Albertville and you're in a place just for a couple of days, right? Or just one day?
Actually, in Albertville, I was there for, it was Christmas. It was right at Christmas when I was in Fort Payne.
Yep.
So, and I was only there for probably 3 days in Fort Payne after I got the hotel. So it was, I stayed in Albertville probably a good month because I worked at Foodland. I liked working. I worked in the deli.
Yeah.
And, but as soon as I got that job.
And for people that are listening to this podcast, this is towns that are about an hour and a half away from Huntsville area.
Right.
And we're in Huntsville. That's where downtown Rush Commission is. Mm-hmm. So once you had left for a little bit and you couldn't go back, you were on the exit plan with that program. They found downtown Rush Commission. Mm-hmm. So how was it when you got up? How did you get up here?
Well, they drove me. They all really liked. We got along and they liked me. So they were sad that they had to, but that was just part of it, it was procedure. You had to, if you stayed away, they had to. So they drove me here. One of the staff members drove me here and made sure I came to enter, women's overnight.
Yeah. And when you were in women's overnight, how long were you at? And let me explain that. So we have an emergency shelter for women. That's where you can come in and walk right in the door. We provide food and shelter and clothing. But then we have a program section.
Right.
And there's two different things. So you were coming into the emergency shelter.
Came into the emergency shelter. So this was February 2018. I stayed. Well, I didn't stay there. I didn't really stay in the shelter. I couldn't. I'd rather drink than stay in the shelter.
Hmm.
So I'd stay out and, stay under the bridges and in tents, and which I did. And, when I was in Clarksville, too, I was homeless, too. I stayed in the tents and under bridges, too. But I stayed out, under the bridge here under Sparkman or under some woods at the bottom of the hill. And, and I'd stay out. Now, I met somebody that was in the that he actually had been in the program on the men's side at one time. But he stayed in men's overnight. And I met him out at the bus stop. And so, you know, it's just, but he ended up dying. He OD'd. That's actually what brought me into the program in 2020. So it took 2 years.
Yeah,
I was tired.
So you're kind of coming in and out of in the and out, overnight.
In and out. Yeah. He would try to make me go into women's overnight, and I'd walk halfway up until I seen him get off all the way through men's overnight, and then I'd turn around and go back out.
Yeah,
and stay out all night.
So when you first came here, you would have been in the old building for the women, right?
2018, they just had built.
They just opened the building. Okay. So a brand new women's facility.
Brand new women's. Yeah.
So you would come for a couple nights and then maybe stay in the tent for a while?
Yes. Yeah. Stay just out. Sometimes they didn't have tents. It was just sleep out in the open.
Yeah. Well, it gets warm enough in the summer. How'd you do that during the winter, though?
We would cover up with blankets. There was blankets. But I did.
So, the
alcohol warms you up too. So
that's true.
You know, when you got that, you know, we were always drinking.
I've been at some football games where I've seen some guys running around, and I'm from Buffalo, New York, and it'd be about -5 degrees at a football game, and they're without their shirts on. Well, they've had quite a bit of alcohol to be able to do that. Right?
That'll warm you up. I mean, it does.
So you lived the street life for a little while.
Since 2012.
Yeah.
Probably on and off.
And alcohol was just such a grab on your life that it kept you there.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And your
whole... drinking, not that. You know, I did the other drugs, too.
Yeah.
If I didn't have alcohol, I would just anything that would give me a buzz.
Yeah. But the big thing for you was alcohol, though, right?
It was. That was my thing.
Yeah, you really... You wanted alcohol. To have that bottle.
Yes.
And that came before anything else, right?
Anything.
Didn't care if you were sleeping in the streets or...
I didn't care if I ate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I, after he passed away, this was June 14th, 2020, so it's been 4 years. I stayed out there by myself. I came into the program in October. So from June till October, I just couldn't do anything. I called 911 on myself one time because I thought I was going, I was dehydrating. And then after he passed away, all the friends that we thought were our friends while we were together, they turned into vultures to us, you know, and it was just to me. And a couple of them beat me up out there too. And
how many times do you think you've been beaten up?
Oh, let's see. One time, this one guy, I thought he broke his foot. Broke my cheekbone. It was terrible. He kept hitting me so hard, and then I don't even know why. And so after Greg passed away, probably about 3 times.
Anything besides getting beaten? I mean,
thank Lord, I didn't.
And they were just trying to get to your money, or
no? Because I could bring the best out in a guy. I mean, I could be very, I could bring the best out of him.
Yeah. So, 2020, you finally get in the program. About that.
Well, it's amazing. I stayed in the program. I believed in God. I always believed in God, but I just never had that relationship with Him.
Yeah.
And the program taught me how to have a relationship with God. Just to love others. I love everyone. I was not a very loving person, except for with my children, my daughters. And it just showed me how to have that love with God, with God in my life. It was amazing. I was in the program for, I was fixing to go into the third step. So the program's a year long. We have the steps. It was right at the time of, the year anniversary of him dying, and then I'd heard of other people dying, and I went out. I left for a week and a half.
Yeah. He had the call of the bottle again.
Well, it wasn't even really that. No. I had been on Mission Moments that month.
Yeah.
I had been on Mission Moments.
That's the problem when we put people on the newsletter,
They always say that it was cursed. You get cursed. Yeah. And I said, oh, no, it ain't going to be, it's not going to mess with me. I'm fine. I was sitting at the front desk, and somebody had come and told me that one of his friends OD'd in the same hotel he did. It was just May, so it was coming up on his year anniversary. And then somebody else told me that somebody else had got killed. That was my friend.
Wow.
I just felt something. I never felt like I needed to go back. I had some friends out there that lived in Tent City. And at Southern Comfort, where he had passed away. And I just felt like I needed to go back out.
Yeah.
And see where, and talk to my friend that I had, was my friend when I was in overnight. And I went out and took like 10 mission moments with me because I was on it. And it was just spur of the moment. I just up and left. And, but you know, I there was a liquor store right down the road and I didn't even go. Now I did go get me a beer. I was convicted the whole time about it though. I cried the whole time I was out. I did chapel. I did, you know, I did the sound system, and Miss Millie was coming that night. I cried worrying who was going to do help her with the microphone.
Yeah.
And but I knew I was going to Southern Comfort to see my friend, and then I was going to Tent City to see her. And I took my mission moments and showed everybody, telling them all about how God was, you know, with all the, everything that we were doing, that, you know, just my life was doing so good. And I got over to Tent City, and one of the people, somebody said, Sean, you don't belong out here anymore. You need to go home. And I said, I am going home. As soon as I see Trina, my little girl. And I went, came back. And I had planned, so I was gone like a week, week and a half.
Yeah.
And I came back. And I was at total peace when I came back. Everything started falling into place. And so, I have been at peace ever since.
So how, what month did you graduate?
I graduated May 2022.
And so let me just step back a little bit. While you were Tent Cities and living on the street, what happened to your relationship with your daughters?
My daughters? Well, they, when I got in, I hadn't got into the third step yet, so I didn't have a phone. But they all knew that I was had come into the program.
So they knew you were safe,
they
at least.
They knew I was safe. Okay. They knew I was safe. And my sister had talked to her. Told
Did you stay in contact with them when you were on the street through those years?
No, not at all.
So you gained your relationship back after you came back?
I did.
Yeah.
They didn't really want, because every time, you know, they just, every time I'd always call them, I was always drunk.
Wow.
So they really didn't want to
talk
to me when I was drunk.
Because it probably made them sad.
It did.
Yeah. And where do your kids live?
Okay, so my two of my daughters, Amy and Ashley, live right outside of Knoxville.
Okay.
Madisonville, Tennessee. And my 18-year-old Allison lives in Clarksville.
Okay.
She just graduated high school. I just went there for her graduation.
Awesome.
And they're doing great, and they are so proud of me.
Yeah.
But, of course, I give God all the glory, all the credit, because I could not, if I did not have God in my life, if I wasn't, you know, his child, I couldn't do it.
Yeah. So you graduated in 22, and so what has God done in your life since then?
Oh, well, I have a car. I have a, you know, I have a, live in a house off property. And I am now the assistant director of the women's program.
Yeah.
That's the most amazing. People see me. I see people. God has just worked wonders. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah. If you saw yourself back in 2017, 16, where you are now, what would you think?
I don't even know what I would think. I am the proof, living proof, that God is good.
All the time.
And that he, and that's why I think that my purpose, I always said my purpose lies right here within this mission, because I was one of these girls. And so I encourage the girls in the program to look, you know, I'm living proof
that
if you just become obedient and surrender to him, all things are possible.
Yeah. He can create miracles.
And he has.
Yeah. So, you last couple of years, you've been at the mission working. You've worked your way up to being the assistant director in the women's facility. And so you're able to touch lives that maybe you understand where they come from more than anybody else, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what is your goal? What do you want to do with your life from now on? Now that you're past that point of, what do they say? Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. But God can take that taste out of your mouth, right?
Yes, he has.
Yeah.
He has totally. I'm 3 years sober.
Hmm.
And I am, you know, because I came in the, well, came back into program in 2021.
Hmm.
So I am 3 years sober. I have no desire.
Hmm.
And so my goal, I'm leaving that in God's hands.
Hmm.
You know, I pray to him, whatever he needs me to do, I'll do it.
Yeah. So right now it's to be at the mission and help out here.
Right here, yes.
Which is awesome.
And
because
to see these girls, like I said, it's like watching a caterpillar transform into a butterfly.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to be there with them and encourage them.
Well, I remember seeing you walking back and forth, and you're a different person than you were when you first came.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's this lady who was living on the street with one pair of clothes and coming in and out of the mission, you know, be here for a few days and...
Yeah, stumbling, bouncing off the walls.
Yeah, most of the time you're drunk,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the thing that is one of the things that I've always thought here at the mission. There's some missions that don't do this, but I have always been under the conviction that God wants me to accept everybody in, right? So even if they're dealing with alcohol right then, or if they're on drugs right then, I'd rather them be here. Now, they can't drink while they're on our campus, but I want to make sure that they're able to eat and have a warm place, because I'm showing God's love. At some point, it's going to be that he pricks their heart to say, hey, I want to change your life, right?
Yes.
And I say sometimes it takes somebody to get to that point where they're sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you got to that point.
I did.
Yeah.
And I did. But, you know, I can look back and I see God on the journey with me. I see in just certain where I didn't think I was going to make it.
Mm.
But I see his hand all over it.
Yeah.
And so it's just amazing.
It's a miraculous thing that he can do with somebody's life. My dad, who was a pastor and also the director of the mission here, we were on a trip last week, and we were talking about wonderful testimonies that we've heard through the years of how, you know, God has taken somebody's life from a path of destruction and, you know, sleeping in tents or on the street or alcoholic or drugs, whatever it might be, and really changed their lives. And he and I both talked about, I don't have that testimony. I didn't go down that path. I became a Christian when I was young. But, you know, he said something that's always been interesting to me. He says, you know, the thing is that God has saved us from that, like for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then God also stopped me from ever doing that, right? So I didn't have to go through those things. But he also is the same God that did that for me, that saved you from those circumstances that you were in, right?
Right.
And it's amazing what he can do in a life. And that's why I think what the mission does and missions across the country do with their programs that are Christ-centered is really the reason they're so successful. You know, there's AA and there's all these other programs that are out there. But we find there's great success here because people are changing their lives because it's not just about them anymore. It's about that they have Jesus Christ in their life.
Yes.
So I can't wait to see what God's got in store for you, right? I mean, you're a big part of what we do here now. You help the ladies out. And I love it because you're able to put your arm around somebody and say, I know where you've been.
I do. And I can relate to them.
Yeah.
And they know that I can. I'm not just somebody that's doesn't know. You know, because everybody has different stories. Everybody's been through different things. But we're all in this, you know, we all have a connection.
Yeah.
And when they see how I have, that's when I just encourage them to just surrender, be obedient.
Yeah. Keep telling your testimony to people like that because it's inspiring to hear how there's stories of hope, right? That people are able to change their lives and it's because they have hope in Jesus Christ.
Right.
So I ask this question every episode. If you today, in the state that you're in a good, healthy state here, you know, as a assistant director, and you could go back and say when first started getting into alcohol to that person that was in their teens or 20s and said, hey, Sean, let me put my arm around. What would you say to that Sean back then that you might say to them now?
Well, I was saying just that you have to trust in yourself to be able to, well, first you'll have to trust in Jesus. And believe in yourself too, that you can make it.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you have hope, there is hope. Yeah. Which all you have to do is believe.
And sometimes in your life, you had times that you weren't so hopeful, right?
Oh, many, many times.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah. If you could go back and say to that young Sean, hey, Sean, listen, there's hope.
There is hope.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Well, listen, it's been a story for you of, you know, really alcohol and drugs and going down a path where you ended up being on the streets for almost 10 years, 8 years.
Off and on, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, man, rough time during that time. But then God saw something in you and said, hey, listen, I want to grab hold of this life and changed your life forever. And yes. I love the Sean that's here now.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, this has been Stories of Hope with Keith Overholt and with Sean. And we're so thankful that you gave your testimony today to let people know. And I hope if anybody's out there today that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, today's the day you can accept him and he will change your life forever. Just like he changed mine and Sean's and everybody that we talked to on this podcast. Again, this is Keith Overholt. I'm the present CEO, and this has been another episode of Stories of Hope.